This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. 7 o'clock, you know what time that is. Time to hit the skins.
It's time to hit the skins.
That's what I need.
I'm the sports junkies.
All right, I'm making a new rule, stop. That we play the sad skins for Monday and Tuesday. But by the time we get to Wednesday and we start to look forward... Because I'm not going to play the sad skins for 16 weeks. I'm not doing it.
What if they're 0-5?
I don't care. Wednesday, we're going to start the turn and look optimistically to the next week. It's my segment, okay? So on Wednesdays, I want to hear the hail.
But there's
the good
a
hail.
But there's a lot of bad news.
Doesn't matter. I want to
hear news too.
He's making an executive decision.
Jordan Reed might come back.
Jonathan Allen's not hurt as bad as people might have thought. Cakes, who has it? Who has the good hail to the Redskins?
I believe I
play
have
the, play your
has.
Sounder. Play. Hold on. Let's do the whole thing over again. Hit the skins, good hail, and then we go into the segment.
It's time to hit the skins.
That's what I need.
I'm a sports junkies.
No, that's terrible. hold on. Stop. Can you do that a little tighter? I know you're having computer issues. Can you tighten that up a little bit? Can you hit the post a little better, whatever it is?
You must not have a lot of content if we're doing this over and over again.
No. I just want it to be smooth.
Okay.
The professional. Right.
Come
on.
Far from smooth.
It builds the mood.
Hit the skin.
That's what I need.
I'm a sports junkies.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about, cakes.
That's
on
better.
Wednesday of the week, we're starting to turn it over a new leaf.
Yeah, we're going to play this after they lose to Miami on Wednesday.
That's fine.
I mean, if they lose to Miami, then everybody's heads are rolling.
They can't.
I mean, that's
lose
way
Miami.
Down the line. Yeah. Right. You can't lose the Dolphins.
1 week at a time, we got the Cowboys. They had a big win over the Giants. Everyone's counting us out. Maybe we'll surprise some people, cakes.
Could happen.
We surprise people for a half. Can we surprise people for two?
Damn, James on a 30-minute game.
All right, so we just touched on it there for a second. Redskins' Jonathan Allen avoids major injury, apparently. And they're saying that their MRI exam did not reveal a major problem or tear. And they're saying he is week to week. He's got a sprained medial collateral ligament that he suffered in the game against the Eagles. We all saw him on the field there, kind of stretching his leg. We all got worried. Coach Jay Gruden has called his injury week to week. I know in his presser, I think it was sort of immediately after the game, or it was on Monday, he said he thought that Geis and Allen both might play. I don't think he's going to play this week. I don't see a scenario where he does.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he's there for week three.
Week three, right.
Yeah. So I think something positive. Clearly, you could look at the numbers. We're going to have Neil Greenberg on. What time is Neil coming?
9:20.
At 9:20, and he's going to talk about the defensive line and how they've kind of disappointed. A lot of that is tied into missing Jonathan Allen. When Jonathan Allen isn't there, the numbers and the performance goes in the toilet.
And that means Zeke, huge week potentially, if Allen isn't in the mix.
And it's a shame because Ioannidis can play, Tim Settle can play, Daron Payne can play, but they need that anchor, Jonathan Allen there. They did some more tweaking to the roster yesterday. You know, this is what happens in the NFL. You're on the roster 1 week, you're not there the next. You're on 1 year, you're not there the next. Washington Redskins parted ways with cornerback Greg Stroman, who played a pretty big role last year when Quentin Dunbar went down. But he was released with an injury designation along with tight end J.P. Holtz, who was also released They signed defensive tackle T.Y. McGill, which I think is a tell. Jonathan Allen not going to be available this week. And they also signed defensive back Simeon Thomas. So
Simeon Thomas from Seattle.
Little bit surprising that Stroman was released, considering he played in 15 games last year, starting three, and recorded 38 tackles, including one interception. But he was surpassed by rookie Jimmy Moreland on the depth chart this season, and he wasn't used as a punt or kick returner in their game against
the Eagles. Sure, he's a great athlete, but he's utterly forgettable. Like, I don't think any Redskins fans are wailing over the fact that he's moving on.
And what did they say about Geis?
Geis, I think he got a second opinion. My understanding is he got an MRI on Sunday after the game, then he got a second MRI. They're saying he's week to week. They are acknowledging it's a meniscus. It just depends on how they go about repairing it or cutting it, whatever they do, and then how he bounces back from it. I don't know if you remember, but Brandon Banks had a meniscus issue that he handled during a bye week, right? They just cut it out, you know, had surgery, rehabbed it for a few days.
So he just missed that 1 week.
He just missed the bye week.
Yeah. All right, so maybe comes back next week.
But J.P. Finley sat down, had his one-on-one with Jay, and he talked about Geis's injury.
Injury news with Darius Geis. Can you give us the latest on that?
He had an MRI, getting it checked out. We'll send it to a couple specialists, make sure we get the right prognosis. If there's time he has to miss or if he has to have anything done, we'll find out and get it taken care of. Most important thing is get it taken care of and then go from there.
What else did he have? You said you had one other clip from Jay when JP asked him about Geis, and then there was one other thing that you had him. I can't remember.
Oh, Peterson?
Yeah, like how he told AP. Yeah.
Speaking of hard decisions with running backs, Adrian Peterson, healthy scratch week one. Mm-hmm. I believe that was his first healthy scratch of his career. Did you talk to him beforehand? Did he know what was coming?
Yeah, of course.
What's that conversation like?
Well, it's not easy. You know, I mean, Adrian was on a couple teams before we got him, and you know, it's hard sometimes to dress two backs on first down that are first down backs. You have to have guys that do different things. You have to have a third down back. Some have Chris Thompson. Somebody else got to play third down. Somebody else has to help on special teams. It's hard to get everybody up on a 46-man roster. So we just chose to dress Smallwood for special teams' sake and only dress three running backs, which we've done since I've been here pretty much.
It really is crazy that they only dress and can play 46 guys. When you look up and down a college sideline and they have 80, 90 guys dressed, now a lot of those guys will play, but still, to only have 46 at your disposal, man, hard decisions are being made every week.
Yeah, every team has to deal with it.
I mean, it's crazy. It is an equalizer, but, man, I wish that they would relieve these guys a little bit and give them a few more options. Of course, Jordan Reed.
What about 48?
Yeah, go 48.
Just go 40. Add two more.
Add two more.
I mean, they added one a few years ago. It used to be 45, right?
Yeah.
And then they added 46.
Just add a couple more.
And then just, make it 48.
I mean, it's crazy. It's a physical game. Guys are killing each other.
You still have the 7-man inactive. All right, so it's 55 guys on the roster.
Or just have 5 guys.
It's not that much money.
Just have 5 guys.
You're adding 2 guys, not that much money.
Yeah. Jordan Reed, though, hasn't been officially cleared yet, but they're saying that he's super close. I think by all accounts, they believe that he'll be available for week two. Although we were thinking at cut down time with the way the cuts went that he was going to be available for week one and he wasn't. So you never know with these concussions. Things can prop up.
But they released J.P. Holtz.
But they did release J.P. Holtz, which is a good sign.
That's a sign that Reed is. Now, it sucks for Holtz, but that's a sign that Reed will be able to go.
Now, of course, they have a big matchup with the Cowboys. Cowboys kind of dominating in their first game against the Giants. Man, you look at some of the numbers, they're kind of scary. I mean, put up 35 points, 494 yards of offense, 405 passing yards for Dak. He threw for 4 touchdowns. Zeke had 13 rushes. Did he catch any balls? He caught 1 ball in the backfield. So he had 14 total touches. Did get in the end zone. Had a touchdown. Longest run was 10 yards.
The concerning thing about that offense is that Dak Prescott was not touched throughout that game.
Right.
So hopefully the Redskins need to generate some sort of pressure on him, because if he just has all day to sit back and scan for his targets, Well, he's gonna pass for 300 plus yards.
Well, he's gonna have a perfect quarterback rating. Yeah, which is what he had.
Jason Witten found the end zone. I saw a good NFL meme of like an elderly woman in a walker riding open for a touchdown pass.
It makes you laugh.
Jason Witten
makes you slap your knee.
They had a bunch of receivers though. Obviously, have big days. Anytime you throw for 405 yards, Michael Gallup was actually their leading receiver. In his second year out of Colorado State.
He's a stud.
He had 7 catches for 158 yards, averaged 22.6 yards per catch, Cakes. Wow, watch out for that. Yeah. Of course, Amari Cooper, we all know what he's capable of. He had 6 catches for 106 and a touchdown. Randall Cobb is there. He had 4 for 69 and a touchdown.
That's the one that surprised me because Cobb's had some injury issues the last few years, so... He looked, at least for a week, he looked kind of reborn in that offense in the slot.
And it's not just Jason Witten there at tight end. Jason Witten, of course, got in the end zone. 3 catches, 15 yards. Of course, he's not going to really hurt you with speed or anything at this point in his career. But Blake Jarwin, the other tight end, had 3 catches for 39 yards and a touchdown. So plenty of weapons there for the Cowboys. Plenty to be concerned about. I don't know. What's the line? The line has changed, right? They initially started up
4.5, 5.
It started around 7.
Open at 7, bet down to 4.5 or 5. I think it'll go back up a little bit.
What is your vibe if you're better?
Oh, I love this game. I love the Cowboys.
You like the Cowboys minus the 5?
I just think they're too talented. Yeah. I think they win by 10 to 14.
Right. So, I don't know. Any other stories out there that are jumping out at you?
Well, I think the quote in The Athletic, did you talk about that?
Don't know.
The quote in The Athletic from, I guess, from a source told Ben Standig that every player on the team believed that Adrian Peterson was the better running back than Darius Geis.
Wow.
Right. That's a tough one.
The quote, I think, was the only guy in the building who thought Geis was better is Jay Gruden.
How do you feel if you're Geis and you get wind of that?
I don't know. I think it's one of those things where, especially if they're polling players, players have so much regard for AP and what he's done.
And the veterans,
right,
yeah. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. Also, yeah. Geis hadn't been on the field.
Right. He hasn't proven it.
So Geis hasn't proven how good he is.
I mean, personally, I love what I've seen of Darius Geis. Notwithstanding the debut where he only averaged 1.8 yards, whatever. The few glimpses that we've had, I think he's going to be a great back if he could just stay healthy. So I see what Jay Gruden sees, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he catches balls out of the backfield. I think he makes him a little bit more versatile. I think he's a powerful back, even though he's not as big as AP. And I think he's got the wiggle, the shake. I think he's got the jump cuts. I think he can do all those things, too. So I think I see what Jay sees, but I also understand everybody else is all about, what have you done for me lately?
The
Geis hasn't done anything.
What does that say, though, about Gruden? The quote in The Athletic, a source told them, everyone in the building besides Gruden thinks AP is the better back.
Hey, he's got a different opinion. I don't know. I mean, JJ also likes Colt McCoy. A lot of people in the building don't like Colt. So
that one's kind of weird. That one still vexes me a bit.
Yeah. Well, how do you think that makes Geis feel?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but Geis got to understand he hasn't done anything.
There's no shame in being comped lower than a Hall of Fame running back.
Look, Jay Gruden wasn't the guy who was the final decider on drafting Geis in the second round. All right, so other people in the building obviously think Geis is a good player.
They like
a good
Geis
player.
Too, but yeah.
Yeah, so they drafted him high.
They like Geis too, but they also like, look, AP can still play. There's no question about it. Everybody knows that.
I think AP is going to be a starter for at least the first half of the season now.
I don't know. If Geis is available, fully healthy, feels great, and is perfect by, week 4, you're telling me by week 6, he's not going to have... be given the opportunity to start the game.
I'm going to guess that Adrian Peterson is going to play like he did last year, where there'll be some duds, and this week could be one.
It's going to be like every other.
He's going to have some good games, and he's going to be getting the majority of the carries.
When he goes 10 for 18 for 1.8,
right.
I think, and Geis is healthy, I think they're going to give Geis the shot.
Might be a while.
It's my guess.
My guess is it's going to be every other week.
I don't think Geis is going to be the starter in 3 weeks, put it that way.
If he comes off a dud... and Geis is healthy, I think Geis is going to get the preponderance of the carries, regardless of who starts.
I heard somebody say this, and this was, I don't know if we kicked this around with D. Smith. Maybe we talked about it after the break. But Adrian Peterson, if he just wanted to stick it to the organization better, he could just say, oh, I got a tight hammy now, can't play.
Yeah, but I don't think that's really not his style.
That's not in his MO, a guy that wants to play. He's a warrior. He's not going to do that. If he was like an Antonio Brown or
right,
and he's trying to earn more contracts,
yeah,
more money.
He wants, so. He needs more cash.
I don't see him doing that
he
at all.
He can't afford to pull up lame.
He don't want to lose this job. That's a great way to lose your job and never get it back again. Especially, you know, especially when it seems like you're not really the coach's favorite.
I don't know. I think Jay Gruden botched this whole thing. I said it. You guys kind of all disagreed by making him inactive. Ultimately, it may not affect anything because Adrian Peterson could come out and play really well against the Cowboys. But I just thought it was an unnecessary move. And then when you hear quotes that everybody on the team except for Gruden and everybody in the organization thought that Adrian Peterson was a better back, shouldn't the head coach be doing what's in the best interest of the team? And that means playing the best players. And if Adrian Peterson is, in fact, better than Darius Geis, and I agree with everything you say about Darius Geis, he looks exciting, looks like he can play. But what if Adrian Peterson's better? Then coach is botching it.
And he's got to go with his gut. If he's going to go down, he wants to play his guy.
Yeah, he's coaching for his career at this point.
Do you think he wants to play the inferior player? He has no regard for that. Jay Gruden is playing. There's a 100% chance. Every person he suits up and he plays is who he thinks gives him the best chance to win. There's no chance he's sitting Peterson if he thinks in his heart he's better, he deserves the rock, he gives us a better chance to win. There's no chance.
But what if there's something?
He might be wrong.
I don't know. What if there's something in the history there? You know how like we like to stick to our arguments?
Sure.
Or we'll root for guys that we draft on fantasy teams and maybe keep them on too long.
There's no history.
What if he was, when they decided to draft Darius Geis, he was really standing on the table and some of the other people wanted to draft elsewhere, so Geis was his guy. And then they brought in Adrian Peterson because of the injury, but he wants his guy to work out, much like with Colt McCoy. He would have loved Colt McCoy to work out over somebody like Case Keenum.
It's possible.
So
it's possible.
He may be holding on to
that.
I
mean, also, you got to remember, Peterson's 34.
Yeah, I think
it's not like 34-year-old backs are successful. It's not normal.
They're a rarity.
Yeah, it's not normal.
What he's doing is,
I think he's just using common sense.
They think, outlier.
I think this, and I've heard other people allude to this, and I believe it's possible. They think Geis could be their Saquon, their Ezekiel Elliott. So at least Jay thinks that. He could be their every down back that could catch balls out of the backfield and that could pound it on first and second down. And he wants to play him.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I like
what
I saw. He's got
to be able to play more than 10 plays.
I liked
not
what I saw
games.
In the preseason.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. I liked what I saw in the preseason last year and in the preseason this year, but that's all I've seen.
Everything I've seen, I've liked. Yeah. I even liked what I saw on Sunday, even though the yardage totals didn't add up.
Yeah. If you want to chime in, the phone number is 800-636-1067. Remember, Mike Rizzo joins us coming up at 9 o'clock as we go in the clubhouse with the Nats GM, and we'll give you a chance for some Nats tickets at 7:45 here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz coming up at 7:45. We'll also give you a chance to win Nats tickets at 7:45. So a couple studies I wanted to bring up. One, which I thought was really good news for three of the Junkies in particular.
Okay. All right.
Jason is not a napper.
I'm a sleeper, though.
Yes. Are you going to give me some terrible story about how naps give me Alzheimer's?
Wait, or not potentially good news.
Oh, good news. Okay, good. I just heard news. I heard news about naps, and Jason's not a napper.
The headline, could napping help you live longer?
Ooh.
A new study reports that the occasional nap appears to cut in half people's risks of heart attack, strokes, and heart disease.
How about an everyday nap? Is that occasional?
Maybe five days a week. Maybe that'll cut it down 100%.
Can we define occasional?
Twice a week.
I'm more than occasional.
Then I think most people I know that are our age and older, they find a little time to get a nap in. Most people I know that are our age get tired and doze off when they're watching TV.
I can confidently say that as soon as I'm done here and I get home, after I have lunch, it's nap time.
Right. Well, let's go around the room. Yesterday was Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right. Cakes, did you nap? And for how long?
Took a nap for 45 to 50 minutes.
All right. What time did you go to bed for the night?
Last night I was in bed under the sheets after a little bit of Bachelor in Paradise at about...
Such a horrible show.
9:45.
Booze.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, standard.
Two beers.
Two Heinekens before bed. Right. Yeah, of course.
Eric, Big Pickle production.
Yeah.
A nap, yes or no?
Yes, 100%.
For how long?
I mean, it's a spotty nap. I wake up a bunch. I don't nap well. Hour and a half.
Was this on a couch or in your bed?
Couch downstairs.
My nap. And then you went to bed for the night at?
10:15.
Wow. So you watched like a bunch of the Nats game, I guess.
Yeah.
I did not nap.
No nap. And then what time did you go to bed for the night?
I fell asleep around 11.
I don't know how you do it.
No.
I did not nap. Shocker.
How many times you go to bed? 6.
I took melatonin at 7:30.
Beautiful.
I watched about the first 3 innings of the Nats game. Probably fell asleep around 8:30, 8:40.
Doing it right.
Drabby, nap or no nap?
Of course I took a nap.
For how long?
Hour and a half.
Okay, and you went to bed.
Kind of short for you.
Yeah,
was it a good nap? Was it a good power nap?
No, I was on a couch.
Oof,
Tuesday is a couch day.
With or without Oakley?
Without. I was at the podcast studio.
Oh, that's a terrible nap over there,
Tuesdays
right?
Suck. I don't
so
get
So then
home.
You went to bed at what time, like midnight?
12:15.
Oh, my God. You're going to have a three-hour epic nap today.
Today I'll make up for it.
Today a three-hour nap?
Very good.
Absolutely.
Mr. The Dolphins aren't tanking.
Yeah.
What time did you take a nap yesterday?
So tanking.
I did not nap.
Ooh, all right. And you went to bed at?
8:50.
All right, so you and I were about the same.
Yeah, but he gets up about an hour before you, I think.
But it's true.
According to this story, now they studied 3,500 people in Switzerland. And then they tracked their heart health for more than 5 years.
Jason's been to Switzerland.
For about 40 minutes. Yep, Chiasso.
Hey, you can say you've been to Switzerland.
Unplanned.
Correct. About 3 in 5 said they don't nap. 1 in 5 said they nap once or twice a week. And so then they track that. And the frequent nappers maybe weren't in the best health because said the frequent nappers tended to be older men with excess weight and a tobacco habit.
Bunch of ROMs.
But the once or twice a week people, for whatever reason, in this study, had decreased strokes, decreased risk of heart attack, decreased risk of heart failure.
Mm.
So maybe you need to find that happy medium. I would say that I'm actually probably in the happy medium. I'm probably a napper twice a week. And to be honest, going to bed late has happened because my 2-year-old is going to bed later and later.
Yeah,
like, I think she finally
got to get your wife on that, though.
At like 10.
That's always my thing. Like, I got to get up. I'm getting up at 4:30. I mean, that stuff happens late at night. That your wife's not getting up.
I'm going to add, I'm not getting up in the middle of the night.
No,
I'm
but saying, I know, but it's like 11 o'clock. She should be dealing with
that.
Yeah,
but she starts, I'm just saying, like, generally speaking, like, my routine at home, Jess and I like to usually watch a TV show together. And so that's starting a lot later than it was before. It's just all on DVR. Mm-hmm. But, like, we watched a show last night starting at 10.
What show?
The Grand Hotel.
I think I've seen those ads. Now, I'm no one to
it's
talk.
It's like a nighttime soap opera.
Because I watch Bachelor in Paradise, so I understand right. I watch terrible TV. But JP's watching a scripted show about, it's basically a soap opera.
It's like Dallas
you watch
back
soap
in the day.
Opera.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like Desperate Housewives.
I watch 3 shows right now. I watch Snowfall, which is fantastic. I watch Mayans, which is on FX as well, second season. And I watch Power on Stars. It's the worst acting in the world.
Okay.
I've told you about Power.
Yes.
Right? I'm just addicted to it.
50 Cent?
Yeah, he's dead. His character's dead.
Ah, okay.
But it's just the worst acting in the world. But yesterday I watched Mayans, which you would like.
Power's coming to an end, though, right? Isn't it the last season?
Is it? I'm not sure.
I believe
Mayans
so.
Is about a biker gang, right? Isn't it an offshoot of Sons of Anarchy?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's about a Mexican biker gang, and it's just as violent as it can get.
I would watch that in a heartbeat.
But it's good. Anyway, so I watch those on DVR, but I could never start watching a show at 10 o'clock.
No. No,
well, that's when Hard Knocks would come on, right? We would watch that.
I could never start doing that.
Yeah.
We're just built different. I've been doing this now for how long have we been in the morning? 17,
but he looks
years?
Younger than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, he doesn't have gray hair, and also he doesn't have bags. That's hereditary.
I don't think it's all hereditary. I don't think it's all hereditary.
I think a lot of it is because I can look at pictures of when I was like 2 years old. It just happens.
Yeah.
I can already see it in my kids.
He just looks, I think he gets more sleep. He looks younger.
You guys aren't taking
my
melatonin?
My theory.
I take melatonin.
Right. Melatonin 100%. And CBD oil.
See, I haven't done that yet.
Actually, since I bumped up to 100 milligrams.
It's working.
I sleep a little bit better through the night. I still wake up probably 6 times, but it's not like waking up 20 times.
Yeah. Oh, I wake up too, but it just knocks me out.
I feel a lot more
relaxed. 3 or 4 hours, and then I'll wake up at midnight.
I actually
woke up at 3 a.m. last night. And I looked at my phone to see, first of all, to see what time it was. And second of all, to see whether I had gotten Jamison Crowder in off of waivers. Ooh. I did that at 3 a.m.
Glad you reminded me.
I have a sickness. I have a problem.
That is a sickness.
Last night.
Problem.
Speaking of our wives, last night my wife started to go up to bed when I started to go up to bed.
Yeah.
And I actually got a little bit bitter because it gets me jealous because she gets up like 2 hours later than we do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I want her to go to bed 2 hours later than me. I don't want you going to bed the same time as me. That means
you're stealing sleep.
You're getting two extra hours.
But if she's but going to
really
bed.
Care?
If she's
going to
really affect
it kinda
you.
Bothers, well, because then I feel like I'm not getting a jump start on anybody.
But if she's going to bed with you, maybe there's a chance that
kids are up. Everyone's doing a million things. And it's the last thing on her mind.
Come on, he hits the skins every morning at 7 a.m., not at night.
But he's able to hit the skins at 10 p.m.
Yeah, that's never happening.
The other study, which I want to bring up, Drab just sent me the story. I can't relate to it personally, but according to this study, half of Americans admit deciding on an outfit is the most stressful part of dining out.
Not for me.
No, not for this guy.
Most stressful part for me is
paying the bill.
Well, where am I going to go? What restaurant am I going to go to?
That's true.
We generally hit the same six or seven. And if I was to be honest, probably hit the same two or three.
You know what? I don't have to worry about tonight. I'm going to wear jeans and a polo shirt, and I'm going to get hooked at Final Cut.
I got to believe this is more women. It says 51% stare blankly at their closet, wondering what to wear when going out to eat.
Guys, don't do that.
65% say they felt overwhelmed when choosing what outfit to wear in a restaurant.
I just look and say, am I going to wear a caps pullover? Am I going to wear a hoodie that says, like, Magruder Lacrosse? I mean, what am I going to wear?
But you can't wear some of those things restaurants.
Yeah, but I mean, how often am I going to nice restaurants, like where you have to dress up, like, in a jacket and like, nice pants?
No, but if you go out, let's say you go out to dinner in Bethesda,
I'm exaggerating a bit, but it doesn't stress me out.
99% of that is women.
Can you wear flip-flops to the nice restaurants?
If you're at the beach, maybe, but like if you're going out and in like
Bethesda, maybe in the heart of summer,
in my neighborhood, this is, I would say, a pretty casual restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's a restaurant, Coastal Flats.
I think you can get away with it there because it's got a beach motif and theme. I think you probably could.
In the heart of summer, you might be able to get away. I know yesterday we went shopping for my son's birthday on Saturday. So we sent him a little care package. I bought him some kicks. We bought him a shirt and a jacket. It's going to be butt cold where he is.
You get so horny to buy shoes.
Huh? No, he needs a pair. He needed a pair. So believe me, I didn't want it because I spent $130 on shoes that he'll go. As soon as he puts them on, he'll step in a puddle.
Yeah.
And he'll drag his feet. And they're just going to look, And I got them all white. Believe me, I don't get size.
Yeah.
But we got them, and then we went to go just get some food, fast food. My wife went to Cava. I went to this place called Honey Grow right next to it.
Fast casual.
Fast casual.
Yeah.
I looked down at myself, and I felt embarrassed for my wife because there are people there coming off of work. Right. You know what I mean? And I'm wearing baggy pants that Cakes would wear, like baggy athletic shorts, basketball shorts, essentially.
Silly.
I'm wearing them down to my knees.
Yeah, they go Cakes go over his knees.
I'm so short. These shorts I got probably 12 years ago. I'm wearing a Wizards T-shirt, and I'm wearing black socks and sliders.
Oh,
and
you
a
look
hat
terrible.
And a Wizards hat.
You look homeless. You look like Delonte West.
This is how I dressed when I was in college.
I know.
I'm almost 50.
Yeah.
You look terrible.
And I'm walking around in public all the time.
You won't go to dinner wearing what you have on right now tonight.
This is what radio has done to us.
I'll go from here to Safeway. Yesterday I met the Kellogg's guy. I met the Kellogg's rep at Safeway. He goes, EB, big fan. He gave me $1 off.
Kellogg's.
He gave you $1. Kellogg's rep gave me $1 off the Frosted Mini Bowl.
$1 off your Apple Jacks.
I'm not kidding.
You should have told him to go out back and maybe somehow the Kellogg's boxes just fell off the truck.
He should have given you an armful of Frosted Flakes.
No. He gave me a sticker. He goes, I know you make big money, but here's $1 off. He put the sticker on. my Frosted Mini Wheats. I said, sized. But I looked down at myself, and I literally looked like a homeless man. Like a homeless man that just murdered, the other homeless person.
You went to just fast casual, so you're fine.
Fast casual, in and out, was actually takeout.
Probably couldn't do that.
But this is how I walk around the town.
You look like a homeless guy that raided the Maryland equipment locker.
Yeah.
You guys never feel like I'm going to look like an idiot or...
Because that's how I dress to work.
I know, but when you go out, I felt that at MGM. Trying to figure out what I was going to wear. I said, I don't know what to wear here. Am I going to be underdressed, overdressed?
What do we wear? Jeans and a T-shirt, I think.
It's not so much of a I need to impress people. It's I don't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah, you
that's
don't want
the anxiety
to look
I feel.
Right.
Just dress a little bit better than we do here. It's got to be better than what we wear here.
Yeah, like drab dress shirt. He's wearing a nice shirt
today.
Well,
you dress a little better now because allegedly you're in management.
There's nothing alleged about it.
But, I mean, like, we can't dress like that. We can't dress like this in real life. You actually look okay today.
I'm just wearing a T-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
Baggy jeans.
Are they baggy?
They're always baggy cakes. Cakes, you've never got the slim fit.
Am I a slim guy? Why would I get slim fit jeans? I see slim, and I just throw it right back on the rack.
Right.
Would never buy anything that says slim fit.
All right, coming up next, going to give you a chance to win some Nats tickets, and we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. Keep it here on The Fan. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As we do every morning at 7:45, we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to go see the Washington Nationals in action at Nats Park. 10th caller right now, you'll win tickets to see your Nationals take on Philadelphia. September 23rd at Nats Park, 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the ball game all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contests. All right, coming up at 8:20, we'll talk a little college football. Maryland, of course, ranked now. So is UVA. Randy Cross will join us to talk some college football at 8:20. Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, joins us at 9 o'clock as we go in the clubhouse. Just a couple weeks left in the regular season. Nats still atop the NL wild card, I believe a 2.5-game lead over the Cubs. For the first spot, basically a 4.5-game lead over the Brewers, who had a huge setback yesterday, losing Christian Yelich for the season.
3.5 over the Brewers.
Okay.
Yep. 2.5 over the Cubs, and the Brewers are 1 back of the Cubs.
But right now, we're going to go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation. Honoring their sacrifice with our service to help our military veterans, visit DonatePurpleHeart.org. The big news in the NFL has to do with Antonio Brown. He has been the headline really for the last week and a half. He's now in the New England Patriots. He's practicing with the Patriots, but last night it emerges that he has been accused of rape, amongst other accusations, from a woman who was purported to be his trainer for a couple of years. It's a civil lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
There were emails or texts from Antonio Brown to the woman, which I guess she released, which says he did something very vile, that he admits to doing it, but who knows? He says consensual relationship. She, of course, begs to differ and has the rape accusation amongst the other charges.
And his attorney, I guess, has said he's going to aggressively defend him on all of these counts, including counter-suing him. Who knows? In an instance like this where no police report has been filed, and I understand that oftentimes, maybe the vast preponderance of times that these rape allegations come about, that they don't go to police. Can the police initiate something on their own just from the civil suit, or do they need her to go to the police?
No, I think they can investigate it now.
Sue everybody.
Hard to prove. There's no, you know, I know they have text messages, but this happened in 2017 and 2018.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there's no rape kick, obviously.
Well, there might be. We just don't know.
Well, I assume there's not, but that would probably have been in the story.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to prove. I mean, it could be a money grab, or it could be true. If it's true, it's disturbing, and he should go away for 70 years.
I just hope justice is served, whatever it is. Yeah. I have no opinion. I have no idea what happened.
So on Wednesdays, mm-hmm, I like to play 5 questions. We'll start with Antonio Brown. Question number 1, Antonio Brown. This week, I'm going to set the over-under at 3.5 catches. Do you think Antonio Brown has 4 catches or more this week for the New England Patriots?
I would go over 3.5.
You would?
And they're playing the Dolphins. They don't really need him to beat the Dolphins. So I'll go under.
I would go over. I think they're going to feed him early.
I would go over, too, but I have no idea. And that's simply just based on his history.
Right. Do they get him in early and just go right at him, or do they slowly but surely work him in?
I think the line there is, what, 18.5 or 19 points?
Just a big number.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't take the Dolphins plus.
No, I don't think you could.
Never would do that.
Question number two. Bunch of rookie receivers looked great this week, including Terry McLaurin for the Washington Redskins, who had 5 catches for 125 and a touchdown. Marquise Hollywood Brown, 147 yards, 2 touchdowns for the Ravens.
Unlimited snaps.
How about A.J. Brown?
A.J. Brown, 3 catches, 100 yards for the Titans. D.J. Chark for the Jags, 4 catches, 146 and
LSU,
a touchdown.
SEC.
He averaged 36.5 yards per catch. And then you had D.K. Metcalf, who led the Seahawks with 89 yards receiving. You have to take one right now. Who are you taking?
For the rest of this season?
For this week?
Are we talking fantasy-related or just for output for
you can qualify.
Their teams? Have to take one.
I'm going to take Hollywood Brown. He just looks so fast. And that's after recovering from Liz Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough to go against him.
I think most of those guys will probably do decent. I mean, you got to assume that Minshew's going to sling it around. They're going to be behind in a lot of games. So Chark might be a good play. Who knows about
but McLaurin,
McLaurin too.
Could have easily had 2 touchdowns. He could have had 175, 180 yards.
Hollywood Brown would be first, but I think a close second is McLaurin because I think he's just going to see a lot of volume. He's going to have a lot of balls thrown his way.
I'm just impressed. I didn't realize DK Metcalf had that kind of day. What were the numbers again?
6 for 89. I think it was four or six.
I think it was four.
It was.
You have six? I wrote down 4 for 89, but maybe
I thought it was six, but I could be wrong. I know it was like 89 yards.
89 yards.
It was 4 for 89.
4 for 89. I know I was pro DK Metcalf, where everybody said he could only run one route.
Yeah.
Won't be able to teach him how to break down because he did the terrible cone drill. That guy looks like too good of an athlete to not be able to learn how to break down his route.
Well, Russell Wilson clearly likes him because he targeted him more than he did Tyler Lockett.
All right, week one. Question number three. 8 coaches in new spots. Combined record 1-6-1. This weekend.
Who gets fired first?
Brian Flores, the Dolphins. Adam Gase with the Jets. Of course, his second job. Freddie Kitchens with the Browns. Zach Taylor with the Bengals. Vic Fangio with Denver. Matt LaFleur got a win for Green Bay. Bruce Arians with Tampa. And then Cliff Kingsbury got a tie. Yeah. That's why 1-6-1. Give me your gut. Best and worst of the lot.
I mean, after 1 week.
1 week.
Well, the guy who's behind the eight ball is Flores. I mean, we've already established the Dolphins are tanking. Yes, they are tanking, Valdez. Not the players, not the coaches. They're not tanking. The front office is tanking by what they're putting on the field.
Giving him a roster that they just can't
win with. Flores is behind the eight ball. Who knows how good or bad of a coach he is? You're not going to be able to tell by this record, by this season.
Best?
I don't know. That's a good question.
My best.
I think the jury's still out on Kingsbury.
I like Zach Taylor in Cincinnati.
I agree with you. He put up almost 500 yards.
He's taken that Stone Age offense and that Marvin Lewis era offense. I can't remember who's running the offense there before Lewis got whacked. But I mean, he's a McVay disciple. He's going to throw the ball all over the place. He's going to spread guys out. He's turning John Ross into a weapon when he was nothing as a rookie. Now it's 1 week. You don't want to read too much into it. Zach Taylor, I like him after 1 week.
I mean, worst through 1 week to me is Freddie Kitchens just because the Browns got blown out by 30.
That's a good one.
180 yards in penalties.
And I believe he also has Todd Monken on staff as, is he the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
And he's not letting him call plays at this point. Kitchens is calling the plays.
All right, this one's a layup. Question number four.
So the jury's still out on most of those guys.
Of course. It's 1 week. Question number four, will the Patriots lose in their division this year?
Do they get stung maybe by Buffalo or the Jets 1 week? Not by the Dolphins. They're not going to lose games.
They're not going to lose a game
in
the division.
They're going to go 6-0 in the division.
I'm going to say they drop one. Like maybe.
All right, maybe
in Buffalo somehow.
Well,
I don't know.
Is Brady's record's ridiculous?
I know
in
he
Buffalo.
Owns Buffalo. I understand.
Yeah, they're not going to lose.
Maybe somehow the Jets trip them up, but I would say they don't lose.
I mean, the only way they would lose is if they've wrapped up. Either home field or the division in week 16.
Well, week 16, they host the Bills. Week 17, they host the Dolphins.
Going back to worst coach.
So maybe one of those games where they bench their starter.
Adam Gase. I mean, you're, clearly you have a lead at home. They have 16-0.
16-0.
16-0. Mm-hmm. You allow the Bills to come back. And then in the media afterwards, you throw everybody else under the bus except for yourself. Adam Gase, my worst after 1 week.
All right, and finally, we talked about this a little bit on Monday. Austin Eckler, running back for the L.A. Chargers, had three touchdowns as the starter for the Chargers. Melvin Gordon, of course, holding out.
Right.
Thought he was going to pull a Zeke. Will he return this year for the Chargers? Will he return from his holdout?
He will return, I would guess, around week 8 or 9, so he gets that vested year. But he will be a non-impact guy because they've got what they need in Eckler and Jackson. They just do. And Gordon has overvalued himself. He thinks he's in the Zeke Elliott, Lev Bell tier. He's not. He's the tier below, and he just can't seem to accept
it. I still think he's good. I think
he's very good. He's just not great.
I think he can have impact. He's better than Jackson is.
Oh, I agree with that.
And Eckler could get banged up anytime. He's tiny.
He's small.
So I would agree. He's going to come back, but his leverage is certainly way down.
That's five questions on the Junkies Blitz. Remember, Randy Cross will join us coming up at 8:20. College football analyst will talk about the Terps. Are they legit at 2-0 and ranked? Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, joins us at 9 o'clock as we go in the clubhouse right here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.